Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first, my good evening. Welcome to Update this Monday evening. The main news in under half an hour, which tonight includes a warning from the Chief Constable about a mass exodus from the police force over the next few years. We'll hear more about that in a few minutes. Also tonight, the Chief Minister insists government's efficiency programme is about improving services, not cutting or changing them. We'll take a look at some of the responses published following the consultation on proposed new gas regulation laws. And with just 8 months to go until the general election, we'll talk politics, exploring what older and younger voters see as the key issues, and we'll hear from another candidate in our 2 Minutes to Tell Us series. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The island could face a mass exodus of experienced police officers in the next few years. That warning has come from the Chief Constable in evidence given to a Tynwald Justice Committee. Russ Foster says pay for officers has been increased to make a career in the force more attractive. Plans to develop the Park Road site in central Douglas are due to be laid before Tynwald this month. The site's been derelict since the former St Ninian's Lower School was demolished in 2013. New safeguarding laws, which would make it clearer when agencies can share personal information, completed the final stage in the Legislative Council last week. Kirsty Morfitt, who had a career as a social worker prior to entering politics, believes the risk of breaching confidentiality remains a concern for those who come into contact with vulnerable people.
It's hard to believe that these are still consistent failures. Whilst all of the legislation very clearly states if there's a risk to others, then you can breach the confidentiality, they have found that they have had to put that in legislation.
And an amber weather warning has been issued as strong easterly winds are expected to combine with quite a big high tide tomorrow. That warning will be in place from 10:30 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. Further afield, resident doctors in England have voted to continue strike action for the next 6 months in their long-running row over pay and conditions. The British Medical Association says more than 93% of its members voted in favour of more walkouts. Sir Keir Starmer says Lord Mandelson should no longer sit in the House of Lords following further allegations about his friendship with the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The serial killer, Steve Wright, has admitted to another murder in 1999. And Jamie George will captain the England Rugby Union Six Nations opener this weekend against Wales. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at six.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And Siobhan mentioned that amber weather warning. First of all, though, there's still that yellow weather warning for coastal overtopping until 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. The amber one coming in at 10:30 tomorrow until 2:30. So there's going to be quite a big high tide tomorrow around 12:24. So there will be significant overtopping of waves at a few locations around the island. They're expecting debris to be brought ashore as well. The whole of Douglas Prom is going to be particularly susceptible, but also Laxey and Ramsey as well. One or two other locations, possibly the western parts of Castletown Prom and Shore Road. So just take care if you are passing those areas at that time tomorrow. Generally continuing dry though tonight, cloudy, quite windy though this evening, strong easterly winds, temperatures around 6 Celsius. Tomorrow cloudy but dry, those easterly winds still strong, temperatures still around 6, so it is going to feel quite cold. Coastal overtopping, as we've heard, at the time of high tide. And then looking ahead to Wednesday, a few outbreaks of rain that is going to fall as snow on the higher hills for a time, and those winds though will start to ease.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5 past 5. Well, as we've just heard, the Chief Constable has warned that the Isle of Man is facing a mass exodus, that was his own words, of experienced police officers over the next few years. Russ Foster has been giving evidence to the Tynwald Constitutional and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee this afternoon. He said every effort was being made to improve recruitment, which included making the pay more attractive.
Officers now start on circa £35,000 a year. After 3 years, that increases to just over £50,000 a year. So it's much more attractive to people who are in another occupation, another career, mid-service, to come to policing. Certainly my contract comes to an end the 31st of March 2028. It's around 2 years left, been here 3 years. The same is true around Steve, who can go in September this year. I've got another superintendent who can go September the year after. and a number of chief inspectors. I think 28-29 we will see a mass exodus from the Isle of Man Constabulary. We're talking around 34 police officers, hence why I mentioned earlier around that over-recruitment and that even that glide path down to our funded strength. What comes with that is the experience, the training. Steve's a qualified senior investigating officer, takes responsibility for the oversight of serious crime, including murders. And we leverage that from the organisation. We're rapidly trying to get people through training courses, which come at a cost. That's another issue, because we used to attract the same benefits that Home Office forces do with the College of Policing. So we got them for the same price. They've now decided that no longer are they going to give us that discount. We're having to pay the full effect costs, which has implications for my training budget.
That is the Chief Constable Russ Foster giving evidence to that Timwell Committee this afternoon. Interestingly, today the Isle of Man Constabulary has launched its latest recruitment campaign. It's running until the 20th of March. They're looking for applications for both full-time police constables and volunteer special constables, encouraging people from all backgrounds to consider a role in policing and to attend upcoming information events that are going to be held throughout the campaign. If you would like more information, you can contact policejobs@gov.im. Now, the Chief Minister says government's £10 million efficiency programme is designed to improve how services are delivered, not to cut or change them. Alfred Cannon was appearing before the Public Accounts Committee alongside government's Chief Operating Officer and Chief Executive Mark Lewin. Government expects to have saved £2.5 million through the scheme by the end of March. The panel also said investment was being made in digital training across government, though questions were raised about how digitisation works for the general public.
As digitalisation, particularly the programmes we've talked about, have not stopped the manual side of that programme running. Vehicle licensing, for example, you can still do that manually.
Until May, is it?
Well, yeah.
And then you won't.
But the opportunity is, it hasn't necessarily, there hasn't been a cliff edge stop. And I think the education in terms of digitisation programmes for assisting particularly those who are non-accessed.
What does that look like in this plan?
Have a piece of work that had, the thinking had of course started, but accelerated by the will of Tynwald, to come to a clear position on community hubs around the island and the model, a proposed model for that. And we'll need to build on our digital inclusion efforts, but within the programme at the moment, there isn't a work stream that's on digital inclusion. It is part of what we're looking at in that piece of work around hubs.
Is it not a massive danger, though, that you're taking services out of being delivered at a community level, when requiring people to do that by default in digitally, but we're not putting that support there for those people that need it?
It's not a project in a sense of a single thing, but it does sit in each individual one. So you talked about drivers and vehicles as an example. Historically, when people have done the vehicle tax, they get a code in the post, and we're getting about 50% of people go digitally. The vision of the future is when you log in, you don't need to wait for a bit of paper, and you can do that now. You can see and you can anticipate.
I think to be fair,
this program was about assisting departments, enabling departments to deliver services more effectively and more efficiently to the public, right? So I don't think it's the question of how that service, if they digitalise, how they then are going to deal with those who are not digitally enabled, I think is a big political question.
That's the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, there. We just heard before from Chief Executive Mark Lewin and Megan Matthews, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Government. It's coming up to 5:10. So responses have been published to a consultation on proposed new gas regulation laws for the Isle of Man. Lewis is with me now. So Lewis, what's all this about, first of all?
Yeah, so Fastamai, this centres on the draft Gas Economic Regulation Bill, which would overhaul how the island's gas sector is regulated. It would introduce a formal licensing system similar to what's used in other utility markets and give the regulator a much broader set of powers.
Who's leading that consultation then?
So this is being run by the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, or CURA. The consultation focuses on the detail of the draft legislation rather than the big policy questions behind it.
So what are people saying in response?
The most detailed submission has come from, well, rather unsurprisingly, Isle of Man Energy, which argues that the bill doesn't clearly explain what problem it's trying to fix. While it accepts there were billing problems back in 2023, it says those were linked to a one-off system change, have since been resolved, and complaints have fallen sharply.
But I understand that this bill does go much further than billing.
That's right, much further. Isle of Man Energy says the proposed powers would allow the regulator to issue binding directions, carry out extensive investigations, impose fines of up to 10% of turnover, introduce criminal sanctions, and even suspend or revoke licenses. It argues that goes beyond what exists in other regulated sectors.
And what about oversight then?
That's another major concern. Under the draft bill, decisions wouldn't be appealable to an independent tribunal, only through a dalliance petition to the High Court. The company says that's out of step with other sectors again, and particularly important given the scale of the powers involved.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. You can find out much more about that story on the Manx Radio website. Now, new laws could help make it clearer when agencies that deal with vulnerable people can breach confidentiality and share personal information. So the Safeguarding Bill completed its final stage in the Legislative Council last week. Kirsty Morford, MLC, has experience in this area, having had a career as a social worker prior to entering politics. She told Phil Gorn there are still consistent failures when it comes to sharing information.
For decades, right back to the Victoria Climbier case, which was in the 90s, late 90s, when safeguarding issues have arisen, there has always been a failure of information sharing. And that's been found consistently through all the serious case reviews. So to reach 2025 and still be having the same failures, it's hard to believe that these are still consistent failures. And it's also, whilst all of the legislation very clearly states if there's a risk to others, then you can breach the confidentiality. They have found that they have had to put that in legislation to ensure that there is absolutely no confusion about the duty to share information.
And of course, the risk, if you are one of the people on the ground and you are thinking, actually, this really does need to be shared, is that you could end up getting prosecuted for incorrectly sharing legislation. So this new safeguarding bill overcomes that.
Yeah, it does offer a certain amount of protection, but I harken back to something that I said at the clauses stage, which is, as a practicing social worker, you would much rather stand up in court and defend your sharing of information when something hasn't gone horribly wrong than defend not sharing that information when something has gone horribly wrong. And I think most practitioners would agree with that logic.
That is Kirsty Morford, MLC, talking to Phil Gorn. You can hear much more about the safeguarding bill, which is going to be in Agenda with Phil next at 5:30.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing to repeat on the police pages this afternoon. Most of the things around Douglas all this week, there are temporary lights on Finch Road. That's just next to Chester Street car park. That's 24 hours a day. Braddon, all this week, a short stretch of the West Baldwin Road is closed. That's south of Ingerbreck for service crossing installation. In the south of the island, there's that short stretch of Fort Island Road, which is closed until the 2nd of March. That's for the demolition of the old Golf Links Hotel. Everywhere else you can get to in that area, though. And in Ramsey, temporary lights on Bertram Avenue. That is for water main work. Looking down at the airport, all looking good this evening, but there is a question mark over the 7:15 sailing to Heysham. Decision due to be made in the next couple of minutes, so hopefully we'll bring that to you before the end of the programme. The Manxman due into Douglas. I can't actually see whether she's in at the moment, but she was due in shortly after 5.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
Now, another member of the House of Keys has now confirmed he won't be signing the bill which would remove the bishop's vote in Tynwald. Christian is with me just now. Fastamai, Christian, tell us what's prompted this latest move and who it is.
Yeah, so it's Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Tim Glover, who says he fundamentally opposes the legislation. While he accepts the wider argument about unelected members voting, he believes the bill risks an unintended consequence, one which we have heard of before, and that's the possible loss of the Diocese of Soder and Man.
And so, Mr. Glover, then, he's framing this as much more than just a constitutional issue.
Yeah, very much so. So Mr. Glover says the diocese is a small and special part of the island's identity, and that the vote felt driven more by ideology than what he believes is in the Isle of Man's best interests. He's also warned that people may not fully appreciate the long-term implications of the decision. This is not also the first refusal we've seen, though. Last week, Onken MHK Rob Callister announced he wouldn't be signing either. He'd previously called for a pause in that debate, arguing the issue should be being left to voters at the next general election, and raised similar concerns about the future of the bishop's role on the island.
So I guess, once again, we're questioning what all this might mean for the bill's progress.
Yeah, so although the legislation has already been approved, it still needs signatures of at least 13 MHKs and 5 MLCs before it can be sent off for royal assent. Now, refusals like this don't stop the bill outright. They could complicate and potentially delay that final step. But if we look at the vote from Tuesday, 13 MHKs were in favour of progressing. So by the numbers alone, not signing it would largely be symbolic, because the numbers are already there to push it to the next stage.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. It's 16 minutes past five now, and with just 8 months to go until the House of Keys general election, attention is now turning to the issues that matter most. And some candidates have begun to declare. We've got two official declarations already. But concerns raised by residents really do seem to vary by generation. Many believe healthcare, utility bills and government spending are key priorities. Age Concern supports older residents on the island, and Chanel has been speaking with members Maureen Cowburn and Steve Dawson.
It's no good cancelling people, you know, the day before and what have you. Some of these people have had to arrange transport, taxis and different things. And it's more stress. Doctor's appointments are one of the major sort of things. People can't get an appointment. If they don't get seen, it magnifies and then they end up in hospital. So preventive is far better than going into hospital, which is, what, £500 a day, £600 a day, which is a cost to the National Health. And you also have to remember is that a lot of these older people have paid in the National Insurance and everything else for care, so they should receive it.
Are they gearing up for the elections? Are they already discussing potential candidates and things like that?
The biggest vote on the Isle of Man is the older person. What are you going to do for them? Or what can you do for them? We don't have a representative in government for older people. We have them for younger people. Last time that was tried, I think it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and it didn't go through. But why not?
Yeah, you wonder why that didn't go through, because that would be an excellent way of the older person having access to the government.
That is Maureen Cowburn and Steve Dawson both talking to Chanel there. They're from Age Concern, Isle of Man. But we mentioned younger voters. Of course, we've got the 16-year-olds being able to vote here on the Isle of Man. It really led the way when that legislation was passed. But do they then have different concerns? Well, first-time voters at Ballacameen High School believe housing and government spending are at the top of the agenda. Here are Lama, Guy and Isaac.
I don't think people should be blind voting. That's what damages countries. In my case, my biggest concerns are government spending, problems with people taking out the pension pot, because realistically, in 80 years, this deficit is going to affect our generation.
But if you don't vote, then you won't really have the people that are backing those sort of same ideas that you're talking about.
To be honest, A-levels will always take the concern, because you've got to focus on your future and then the islands.
I'm going to do some research before I do vote. It's really important that people do educate themselves, so things don't really become hostile or reactive. I think it's really important for people to read up before they go and vote, and that their vote definitely counts.
A lot of the focus of the politics that I listen to tends to be more international, more UK-based, and I think that's negative. I think perhaps we could do with changing to having maybe more Manx politicians on social media, perhaps coming into schools, things like this, so you can get the outreach out there. Housing, as Isaac said, that's a major one for people like myself. I think another one which is really big is education and further education and coming back to the Isle of Man and jobs with that regard. And then the third one I would say is energy security. I think it's something which is really important with the Isle of Man as well.
That is Isaac, Guy and Lama that we heard from there. And just incredible, isn't it, listening to them? And they're just so well-versed in the matters of politics and really articulate in their views. So it's really good to see that they are engaged, but will they go out to vote? I suppose it remains to be seen. Well, in the lead-up to polling day, we will be bringing you as much information as we can about the candidates that are going to be standing in your area. You can find full coverage, including a link to our election mini-site on the main Manx Radio website at manxradio.com. And as part of this, we're inviting every candidate who's standing to take part in 2 minutes to tell us. So this is a chance for them to speak directly to you just in a couple of minutes to explain why they deserve your vote. Well, Simon Williams is a new candidate. He's standing in the constituency of Rushen, and this is his 2 minutes to tell us.
Fastamai, good afternoon. My name is Simon Williams. Thank you very much to Manx Radio for giving me a minute to speak to you today. I was born in the parish of Rushen, and I live in the heart of Port Erin. I'm a very proud Manxman, and there's nothing more than I like than living in the sunny south of our beautiful island. I work in Douglas, where I ran my own high street business there for the last 25 years. Lots of you will know me as Simon from Manx Tattoo and Body Piercing. It's the success of that business and the experiences that I've gained over the years that I now feel I have the opportunity to take a step back from this business and put my name forward to stand as a candidate in Rushen in the House of Keys general election this year. Before I ask for your support, I need to make a request of you. Please register to vote. It only takes a minute. It's a very simple process. Once done so, you can make use of your democratic right to cast a vote in this autumn's election. It is so important that we have a good turnout to send a very clear message through the corridors of government, to the House of Keys, to the Tynwald and the Legislative Council, that the people of the Isle of Man are not only watching, we are listening. And we care deeply about the decisions that are being made there that affect us on a day-to-day basis. Over the last few weeks and months, I've visited many of the businesses within Rushen, letting them know who I am and why I'm standing. Thank you very much for your warm welcome. I'm looking forward to coming back to see you before the election, I'm sure. I'm now going to start my campaign proper, coming through the parish, coming to your door to introduce myself to you. I want to hear your concerns, your frustrations, but I also need to hear your ideas to how we can make the Isle of Man a better place for all of our residents. If elected, I will take your voice into the House of Keys and make sure you're heard. Thank you very much for your time. God Amayed.
That is Simon Williams, a constituent of Rushen, who is standing in the House of Keys general election there. As I say, go to the Manx Radio mini election site and find out all the details. And just looking at the steam packet, still waiting for that decision about tonight's sailing to be confirmed. So hopefully that'll be before the end of the programme. We'll turn our attention to football now. And FC Isle of Man manager Rick Holden has claimed his side was robbed against ordinary Ramsbottom United in a 4-4 draw in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday. So despite taking an early 2-goal lead, the Ravens needed a sensational stoppage time equaliser. That was from goalkeeper Adam Killier. However, they did have a goal ruled out for offside, as well as a penalty claim dismissed during the 90 minutes. Well, afterwards, Rick Holden spoke to the club's media.
On reflection overnight, and I'm sitting here now and it's almost a day later, I feel we're a bit robbed, you know.
The Ravens had opportunities to extend their lead in the first half, with Jacob Crook and Sean Kelly denied with goal line clearances before missing chances in the second half too. Carl Clark placed a shot from close range over the bar at 4-3 down with around 10 minutes to go.
I mean, it's unfortunate it fell to Clark. He hits the ball so well, it's probably still going now, one of them. Just landed in Plymouth or something. But we did great chances, which was good. I mean, they never stopped doing the right thing. I mean, we went a bit long at times in the midsection of the second half, which was a bit annoying. But then they got the ball down and started playing some lovely combinations. You know, the left-hand side particularly, which we talked about, Jacob and Dino getting the 1-2s in and getting crosses in. And we destroyed them at times, made them look ordinary, and they are an ordinary side, Ramsbottom. I don't want to diss them, but they're not world beaters, and we should have flattened them, really. We did deservedly get that last second equaliser, which was hilarious, actually, in its construct. I've been laughing about it, to be honest. Adam went up. I just looked, I thought, what's he doing here, you know? I said, here we go. And I thought, well, it's worth it, you know. We couldn't get from the linesman what the time was at the time of the added on, all that. We just lost track of it. We thought, well, it's the last throw of the dice. And lo and behold, he scores. So well played, good lad. If we could string a few confident performances together, it will all go well. I think we need to retract. We refined our corners and throw-ins a bit better, but I think we need to work on defensive set pieces. We'll have a little look, see what we can do. But it's nice to get that break. I mean, it has been tedious travelling, especially to Birmingham and that, and it's long hours on the road, and it does take its toll, you know. But we've got a nice run of games, and we'll be all right if we keep playing like that. We'll be fine.
That's FC Isle of Man manager Rick Holden, always incredibly honest, I think, in his post-match analysis. Darren Timpson is here. We're going to have the sport brought to you by the Print Shed in just a moment. But you were at that game on Saturday, and it sounds like it was an absolute thriller, really.
Yeah, it was a great game. I think from a neutral point of view, it was everything you could ask for. You had comebacks, four-goal thriller, and a goalkeeper scoring the final goal of the game to equalise for FC Isle of Man.
That must have been absolutely amazing, yeah. He must have been quite proud. Imagine a pint or two were bought for him. Anyway, the rest of the sport tonight, Darren.
Yeah, and we'll start with the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup, where the final has been confirmed. Peel will take on Douglas Royal on Sunday the 8th of February at the Ball. The Westerners comfortably overcame a tricky tie on paper to beat Corinthians 3-0, while Douglas Royal made no mistake against Onken. On to Saturday, in the men's game, Carter Town closed the gap to Arden and Drogon Division 2 leaders Colby to 1 point. They put 5 goals past Malou, while Colby had a rest week. The leaders sit on 38 points, with Carter Town on 37 after 15 games played. However, there was also a 10-point gap to Rycob in third, who sit outside of the promotion spots. Elsewhere in Division 2, there were wins from Moran and St George's. On to the Canada Life Premier League, where only one game was played due to waterlogged pitches. Rushing United beat Braddon 3-0. In rugby, Douglas got back to winning ways with a confident 30-10 win against Northwich in the Regional 2 Northwest. They picked up a winning bonus point too, which keeps them in the hunt for the playoff spots. The Island side are now only 2 points behind second place Vale of Loon, with both teams having played 16 games. And finally, in hockey, and the first set of teams have progressed from the first round of the Cup, Ball and Plate competitions, advancing from the Men's Cup of Vikings A and Backers A, while Valkyrs A and Carlton won in the Ladies' Cup. From the Men's Plate, Ramsey A have gone through after a 3-2 win over Valkyrs B. Vikings B and Ramsey A have progressed from the Ladies' Plate. And in the Men's Ball, Backers C put 15 past Ramsey, and Harlequin C beat Carlton C.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. That was the sport news there. I can tell you that tonight's sailing to Heysham will be going ahead. So good news if you're supposed to be on that boat. It is going to leave Douglas at around about 7:15, getting to Heysham at 11, and then the return is safe as well. That's coming back at 2:15. That is all from Update this evening. Find out about all tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website and follow our social media throughout the evening to keep you up to date on what is happening. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil Gorn, and he is going to be looking at some of the legislation that's being passed. As we know and keep saying, it is not long now until this administration is over, the next general election just 8 months away, and it does seem like quite a lot is happening, so he'll be talking you through some of those. Greatest Hits then with Chris Kinney is from 6 p.m. At 9, it's Ian Cottier with Time for Brass, and Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll speak to you again at 5 tomorrow.